Okay, my name is Ron Weiss. I am 67 years old today. Today's my birthday. And let's see, today is August 31st, 2018. I was born at 7:25 in the morning on August 31st, 1951. 6 years after World War II ended. And we're here today in California at the Photography Museum, the Annenberg Photography Museum, and I wanted to take the opportunity to talk and have a story for a story in which we talk a little bit about my life.
I am Jack Greenberg. I'm Ron's husband, and I'll be helping Ron focus on what he wants to talk about. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I guess I wasn't a particularly happy child. I grew up without living in the same place as any siblings. I have an older half-brother who did not live in the same household, who was like a close cousin to me, but I grew up more like an only child. And I never had a whole lot of friends. I usually had one friend, but that's it, at a time. And so I was pretty introverted. I liked to read books. I was interested in science and had all sorts of things I was fascinated in. And I spent a lot of time reading, a lot of time by myself.
What do you remember? Tell me something specific that you remember as a child.
Something specific. Well, here's one. The oldest memory I have, and I've told this story many times, was, I guess, right after my third birthday. Just before I moved to the home that I grew up in, I was born in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, and my folks bought a house in Whitestone, Queens County, which I grew up in. That was we moved in October 1st, 1951. And just before that, in September, I actually had a memory of being very little boy feeding pigeons on Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn, on a row of trees which are between the service road and the main traffic lane. It's an old classic parkway designed by Frederick Law Olmsted. But I actually have my oldest memory was from that, which must have been shortly after my third birthday and just before moving to Whitestone.
Is that a happy memory?
Yes, that was a happy memory. I have happy memories of childhood. My allusion before was to unhappy memories. Was because I didn't have a whole lot of friends. Nobody was interested in what I was interested in. You know, other kids liked sports, and I hated that. I liked biology, anatomy, chemistry. I memorized the periodic chart of elements when I was 8 years old. I learned about the systems of the body. All that interested me. I thought I was going to be a doctor. When I got to college, I didn't make it to the second semester of biology. I switched to the social sciences, which I studied psychology and history and other things which I liked much more as an adult. But I always had an interest in health and medical things, and I've done things like that in my life.
Tell me about something that was most difficult for you in your childhood. I mean, in feeling.
Most difficult for me. I was always a little overweight, and I was very self-conscious about that. And that was an issue. And it, as I got older, by the time I was 7 or 8 years old, I was made fun of and sometimes bullied over the fact that I was overweight. I wasn't obese, but I weighed more than I should have, and I became very self-conscious about it, and it's been a struggle all my life. Psychologically, I dealt with it. By the time I was in high school, I was in much better shape to deal with it. But I was tormented by other kids over my weight and over my interests in unusual things that I like to talk about, you know, in the world of science that nobody else had the slightest interest in.
What advice would you give to yourself at some age in your youth, maybe when you were 10 or when you were 15, what advice would you give to yourself looking back?
If I had to do it over?
No.
What advice would yourself, I give to myself?
You're meeting yourself now at that age.
Oh. That's a tough question to answer.
You know what you have in store, and what advice would you give to yourself?
Quoting the Bible, be strong and be of good courage. Life has its ups and downs, but you get through it. I needed courage to deal with what was going to happen in my life, because I had no idea what it was that I was feeling at a very young age, but I understand now. I was a young gay boy that was interested and attracted to men, to boys, I guess, at that age, and men later. And that was, at the time, totally not allowed. It was against the law in most of the states of the country. All states before 1961. In 1964, when I first had the first real inklings that I was gay, only one state did not have a sodomy law. It was considered a mental illness. It was considered a sin by almost every religion. And when I first found out about it, I struggled mightily for 12 years before I was able to actually deal with it and come out as an adult at age 25.
So now, beyond childhood, what's the next thing of importance to you?
Well, I got through childhood and I did, you know, learn a lot of things. Even though I didn't have great social relationships, I learned a lot about the subjects I was interested in. I took the examination to get into the Bronx High School of Science, which was take a special test to get in there. I passed it. I wasn't going to go, but I was told that this is something you must do, and it turned out to be one of the great opportunities of my life. Things changed for me socially. I was in an environment with other people who were intellectual and interested, and I started studying things beyond the sciences. I started writing poetry. I started, which later on became not only poetry. I started, when I became more involved in religious life as an adult, I started writing prayers, some of which have been actually publicized, published, I'm sorry, in our synagogue's prayer book at Bet Simchat Torah in New York City, the gay and lesbian synagogue of the New York metropolitan area. As an adult, I went to college, I went to graduate school, I got a master's degree in counseling psychology, a bachelor's degree in psychology. I did internships and got licensed as a marriage and family therapist, which I didn't really use for various circumstances, but I worked in the counseling field for much of my life until I burned out in my early 40s. I was involved in the AIDS epidemic in which I was an HIV counselor, and I was involved in HIV research and an AIDS educator as a volunteer, and spent a lot of time doing my part giving back to my community in a difficult way during times of great crisis. But I'm very proud of that, and that was I consider that one of the great accomplishments of my life, along with the poetry that I've written that expresses my feelings about life, America, and the world as time goes on.
Talk about two people who have been the biggest influences in your life.
Well, obviously one of them is you, Jack Greenberg, who I met on a visit to New York City for my nephew's bar mitzvah. And I went to the gay synagogue, and I met you there, and we visited each other several times during that week. Corresponded back and forth on the phone afterwards, and a little less than a year later, I moved from California, where I had gone to in my folks' retirement. I grew up in New York City, went to college in Albany, New York, State University of New York at Albany. After graduation, my folks retired to California. I lived there. I wound up moving back to live with Jack. We met on May 21st, 1980, and I moved back to back east and have lived in New Jersey since then. So Jack has been a great influence in my life. Under various terms, lover, partner, domestic partner, the next level, whatever that. What was the next level after domestic partner? Do you remember? Civil union partner. And finally, when the state of New Jersey was put in a position of where the court said you have to allow marriage between two people of the same sex, I wound up. We wound up getting married on October 22nd on 2013. And we were the first gay couple to be legally married in a synagogue in New Jersey, a small tidbit in history. But we've had a lot of life together, more than 38 years. It's been very special. What other person has been a great influence in my life? That's very interesting. I had a high school teacher, Dory Weiss, who was my English teacher twice and inspired in me the love of poetry, the love of writing down words and imagery, who I kept in touch with all her life until she died, and was very much influenced by her. And I think that my being a liturgist had a lot to do with her inspiring me with the love of words.
Tell me about two people who were especially kind to you in your life, and what would you say to them if they were here right now?
Especially kind to me. Wow. Well, that's a hard one. Well, I've already talked about you, Jack. My mother's older sister, Aunt Maddie, was probably one of the people who would fit into that category. We all have a special somebody in our family, and I think Aunt Maddie was my special person, was kind to me, thought of me, gave me gifts, and someone we had fun with. I'm trying to think if there was another friend. There must have been other people that I've known all along. I've had many friends, but especially kind. I'm not sure.
Of all the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most, and what do you miss about them?
Wow. Well, I miss my parents very much. I was close to my mother. We've had our share of fighting, but she was a big influence in my life, and I feel like it's been more than 26 years since she died, and there's a sense of loss there. It happens to all of us. That's a natural way in life, you know, to lose your parents. It's so much better than the other way around, where someone would lose a child. I don't know offhand. My friend Seymour Krasny was a person I was very close with, who lived a long life into his 90s. And, even though he lived a long life, I feel sad that he's gone, because he was somebody I used to talk to a lot. And there's a missing piece there.
So what would you say to him and to your mother if they opened the store and walked in now?
Well, I said, my mother, I'd say we're married. I never thought this would happen in life, but we're married. We're together more than 38 years. We'll be together for the rest of our lives. And I published some poetry. I tell her we got married. And that she and I once talked about, she asked me if I would want to, or be willing to wear her wedding ring, which I kept after her death, and that became my wedding ring, and Jack had my grandmother's, her mother's wedding ring, So real family connection there. Seymour, I'd update on all the politics that's gone on since he died, and we probably have a lot to talk about.
Tell me one or two of your happiest memories.
Happiest memories? Well, of course, there was a week that we met each other. Because I met you a few hours before you remembered me, but we met on the night of Shavuot in the synagogue. Jack was busy rolling the Torah for the services the next day, in which I was called up to make a blessing when he was reading the Ten Commandments, and just something very exciting and special, happy occurred there. That sparked our relationship. So that was very important. Another one on the day we actually got married 5 years ago. Especially happy memories. Those are the things that come to mind. I mean, there were many other things, of special trips and vacations, things we've done along the way and our journey together.
What are you proudest of in your life?
The work I did for the AIDS crisis for many years. Again, as a clinician, as a researcher, as an educator, as an HIV counselor, and the poetry and prayers that I've written and shared with other people whenever I led services, and those that have gotten into print as well. I think those are very, very important things in my life.
How has your life been different from what you imagined when you were young?
Well, like I said before, I imagined that I would go into medicine and be a doctor and be involved in the sciences, so I was involved in public health with the AIDS crisis, but I didn't picture that I would wind up going into a different field, and I thought I would, when I did get into that field, I would do that for the rest of my life, and I didn't. I burned out, with years of working with people with AIDS, and then dealing with both my parents dying 11 days apart. I needed something new, and so I went into teaching. And that's something I'm very proud of. All the children and adults that I've taught Hebrew and biblical chanting and Jewish history over the years in Hebrew school and private classes. That's very much, very special to me. And I didn't realize that would be my career, but I'm very glad that it was.
So, what would you like to say now to tie everything together in conclusion?
I've had difficulties in life, but it's been a good life, and 67 years, you know, I'm glad I'm there. A lot of people I knew didn't make it anywhere near that, and, you know, and again, to be strong and fight no matter what the odds are, and it's worth it, as difficult as it is. It's worth fighting, it's worth being strong, it's worth being a role model for people in the future.
Okay, thank you very much, Ron, for sharing
thank
all
you.
Those wonderful things. I love you.
Thank you, Jack. I love you, too.